It's so good to see everyone. As you've heard from Lynn, Pastor John is sick, and I found out that he was really sick. I knew he was kind of struggling with something through the week. We see each other through the week, but I didn't really know how bad it was until yesterday when I went to a wedding. Dan and Kendra Kohlmeyer just got married, if you know them. They just got married, and Pastor John starts opening up his little message with the wedding, and you could barely hear him. And it was kind of like, you know, scratching voice and stuff. And I'm like, well, that's not good. And so we go to the reception afterward, and he kind of moseys over next to me. And it's like 6 o'clock at night. And he's like, so do you think you can preach tomorrow? I was like, let me think about that. And then I thought about it a little bit. I'm like, yeah, I think I can, Pastor John. Pastor Gary's filled in for me when I have my kidney stone. We try to help each other out when we have some of these emergencies that come up for health reasons and stuff. So I'm always willing and happy to preach here to you guys and excited about today's message. The only thing about today's message is it is not the insert that you will see in your bulletin. It is not in the theme of our series. I texted Pastor John, like, I don't want to steal your thunder about your message today, and I know he's worked hard on that and crafted that. I didn't want to take that away from him. I also didn't really have the time to think of something that would go in with the theme. So what I'm going to be preaching today is something I've been thinking on and just kind of something I had in my back pocket just in case we ever had something like this for preaching. So let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this morning and for opportunities like this where sometimes life doesn't go as planned. And we have to roll with it. And thank you for everyone here being gracious towards that. And Lord, I pray that it would still be a powerful time for them to grow in their relationship with you. And it's your name that we pray. Amen. So I don't know about you. I don't know if it's just a guy thing or just someone in general. But when I start focusing on something, it kind of becomes all I'm focusing on. And I can start, like, forgetting other things in the world sometimes. Sometimes we get so focused on stuff that maybe some other things start going off to the side. And I remember just this past week, I'm kind of a one-track mind person. And so I was telling Elizabeth, my wife, about, you know, what was happening in the day. And we had to clean off the table. And I pretty much stopped talking just to focus on cleaning up the table. Like, okay, I'm not talking. I got to clean up the table. And she's like, you can keep talking. And I was like, but I was so focused. Okay, yeah, I just got to get this all cleaned up and everything and put everything away. And then as soon as I was done with that, I went back into the conversation. Because I can really only focus on one thing at a time. And so I don't know, maybe if you've been working on a project at home or maybe just something at work and you just get so consumed with it that you start, you can go back to the other slide, the first slide. You start getting so consumed with what you're doing that maybe some of these other things you forget about. Just kind of go off to the side. So I think sometimes that can happen in our faith. We can get so fixated on this conversation, faith versus works. And it's a theme in the Bible and one of the most precious teachings and doctrines that we have in the Bible. And we see it pronounced even more in the New Testament, that we are saved by faith alone and not by works. And that becomes the compare and contrast, right? It becomes faith and works. Works becomes the thing that is contrasted with faith. And we can start focusing on that. We can really put our defenses up and we can really, like, focus on, okay, I'm making sure that I'm not really justifying myself through what I do, right? We're not justifying myself through going to church or to praying a lot or giving a lot or doing service projects or all these things. And we can start thinking, okay, yeah, I'm not justifying myself before God because of the things I do. And I think that is one of the most unique things of Christianity. Every other religion, world religion, the one big difference between Christianity, true Christianity, and every other religion is that we believe it is not because of what we do, but what God has done for us. Every other religion says you get to heaven, nirvana, some sort of eternal bliss because of what you do. And hopefully, when you pass on to the other world, that your goods are better than your bads, and you can get in. And the thing I love about Jesus, the Bible, Christianity, is it offers something different in that way. But as I've been reflecting on my walk with God, and reflecting on that characteristic of the big picture of faith versus works, I started realizing, noticing that sometimes other false ideas of justifying ourselves before God can sneak in the back door when we just focus on works being the thing that we make sure doesn't become what we stand before God as justified. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at three false ways that we can start thinking and they start creeping in when it comes to self-justification before God. And I think these are so important because our love for Christ and what he's done for us needs to be what we cling to. We need to be able to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to keep ridding everything that tries to come into that. Satan is going to try to continue to lie to us that there's something else besides faith in Christ that allows us and affords us forgiveness before God. And we have to focus on all these things and bring to light maybe some of these things that are starting to come into our life. And so the first false way we can start thinking is time. Time. Psalm 25:7. We'll look at that verse in a little bit if you want to turn there. We'll be there in a little bit. Psalm 25, verse 7. Time. As time goes on, you can look back at something you did when you were younger, and you can think, oh, it wasn't that bad. I remember when I was a kid, and man, I wasn't like the best kid, like most of us. We all do some bad things when we were kids. And I would, you know, say no to my parents when I was a kid. I would disrespect and backtalk to my parents. When I was in elementary school, I straight up stole a toy from one of my friends' houses. Like, I saw this toy, and I was like, I really like that toy. I want to have it. And I just, like, straight up stole it and took it home. And I don't know if he ever found out or what, but I did that. And I can look back, and I can say, that was so long ago. That doesn't really matter. Or I was just a kid. Like, I wasn't really fully developed yet in my mind, and I was still just kind of being a kid. And so time, if I'm not careful, can start being another way of self-justification. That we can start belittling or diminishing the sin in our life because it happened 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And we have to remember that that sin is not forgiven because it happened a long time ago. That sin is forgiven because of the cross of Christ and the blood of Christ shed for you. And we have to bring that sin to God and say, God, forgive me of this. Forgive me of this. We have to soften our hearts because when we start to think that time forgives us of our sins, that something happened long ago, so it wasn't that big of a deal or whatnot, it starts hardening our heart towards the way of God. It starts hardening our heart towards the gospel. And it diminishes our view of Christ on the cross and what he actually died for. And so Psalm 25, verse 7, you guys are probably there. I did not turn there. Psalm 25, verse 7 says, this is David talking about the stuff he did when he was younger in his years. He says to God, do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. David, writing this psalm, softens his heart and understands that just because he did something back in his youth doesn't mean that's automatically okay towards God. And he softens his heart and he says, God, please don't remember these sins. Wash these sins away. Forgive these sins of mine that I've done. And may I be seen according to your love over those things that I did way back when. So that's something maybe for you right now you need to bring to the cross. Maybe something is coming to your mind, maybe a couple things that you did, and you really never in your heart brought that to the cross. I want to challenge you this morning to do that, encourage you to do that. The second false way that we can start justifying ourselves to God is comparison. Is comparison. We can sometimes start looking to other people and justifying ourselves, our life, our decisions because, well, at least I'm not like them. At least I'm not like that other person. We can see on the news, maybe just in the daily things that happen, people being arrested for this or that. And we can start saying, wow, at least I didn't do that. At least I'm not like that. We can see someone at work or hear about someone at work. Maybe they're gossiping or they're doing other things. And you can say, man, at least I don't gossip. At least I don't curse. At least I don't do all these other things. At least I'm not like them. What starts to happen is that your sin isn't, you start seeing your sin not covered by the cross of Christ, but being self-justified by comparison. And so we need to stop comparing ourselves to other people to make ourselves seem like we're more righteous. We have to understand that before God, any person that just makes the slightest thought of sin in their heart or their mind is on the same level and is as guilty of punishment for eternal separation from God as the person who has done horrible things their whole life. And so we can't compare ourselves to these people. And so maybe there's people that you have or know that you look at and you despise because of they think a certain way about life. They have certain views of how healthcare should go or economics should go or politics should go, and you look at them as lesser, or you don't like them, or you take a self-justification because at least I'm not like them. Comparison can creep in very quickly. And so Jesus points this out in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And this is Jesus talking about the errors that we make sometimes and hoping to bring to light or to remind us that sometimes we fall into this and we can't. We can't because we want to fall more in love with Christ by recognizing how much he's done for us. And so he says in verse 9 and following, he says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so sometimes, maybe you find yourself as the Pharisee in this story. You start coming to church, you start doing all these other things, and maybe you're not justifying yourself through works, but you're starting to say, well, at least I'm not like those robbers, those sinners, those evildoers in the world. And you start comparing yourself to other people. In this parable, it shines a light on that in our heart. And those thoughts can happen really subtly. Those thoughts and feelings you have about comparing yourself happen maybe while you're walking somewhere or driving somewhere. And it can just be a split-second thought you have about something. God's word tells us to move away from that. To move away from that. And to realize that your sin is as heavy to God as those other people's sins. and that he thought of you on the cross just as he thought of the other person on the cross and died for those people's sins. And so we can't let comparison rob us of the joy that we have in Christ. And lastly, the third point, a third false way we can justify sometimes ourselves before God, and that is travel. This may sound a little odd. Travel? What do you mean travel? How can travel sometimes get in our way or become a way that we self-justify ourselves before God, or kind of self-forgive our sins before God? In this world, we become very transient. More than ever in human history, we can travel very quickly and very far. And so because of that, sometimes when we travel, we can start to think, wow, I'm around people that don't really know me. I'm in a different setting. I can be a different person. I can experience something new here that I couldn't back home. And so we can start to think and maybe disattach ourselves from our faith. Or we can justify and say, oh, well, you know, I can be this type of person while I'm here, and no one will ever know. The phrase that we hear today that sums this up is, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now, that specifically ties to things that happen in Vegas, but I think that idea is bigger than just what it's referring to. I think that refers to really the idea of, hey, when you go somewhere, you can be a different person. And when you get on the plane or when you get on the train or you get in the car to go back, you can sometimes disattach yourself from what happened. Or you can pretend that what happened there wasn't that big a deal. So when you walk through the door of your home or walk into your working, just almost put that back away in your mind somewhere and just think, oh, it would never really happen. Or that was just something I did over there. So distance can sometimes be something that gets in the way of faith alone in Christ. And so we can't let that happen. We can't allow travel and distance and maybe things we did when we were far away somehow diminish what Christ did on the cross. And so maybe for you, you did something when you were in a different country. Maybe you did something when you were in a different city. Maybe right now you're going through that. Maybe you travel a lot for work, and you started getting into this mentality of, hey, when I'm at this hotel or when I'm alone by myself in these different places, I can just do this, and then you go somewhere else and you just forget, or you just put it away, and you don't really bring it to the cross. The gospel wants us to see. The gospel is about exposing our heart in a way that nothing, no other way of thinking can, no other religious system can. Jesus speaks into our heart. And he wants us to rid us of everything that can get in the way of faith alone in Christ alone. Because when we start to see, wow, our hearts can really start going off on these different tracks, and we start to see, wow, God died for me in this, when I was far away in that city, in that town, God died for me. When, even though there's someone else out there that I may think is worse than I am, I have to come to the cross and say, I'm right there next to that person. And when I did something a long time ago, I have to soften my heart and say, God died for me for that. And when we start doing that, I think the joy of understanding and knowing what Christ has done for us will grow. It will grow, and our love for God will grow. In closing, hopefully, this was helpful in understanding other ways besides good works that we tend to justify ourselves. Even though good works is important to focus on, we can't allow other ways of self-justification to creep in the back door. So if there's anything in your life that have covered over because of how long ago it was, where it happened, or it wasn't as bad as someone else, be encouraged to bring that to the cross today. Realize that you are completely covered by one thing and one thing alone. And that is Christ dying for you on the cross, and you are covered by his blood. So this week, if there was any of those things I brought up and it's kind of ringing in your heart that this is something you need to do, you need to bring this back up to God, you need to come to the cross and bring those things, I want you to kneel beside your bed this week and just bring that to the cross. Confess that to God. Soften your heart to him. He wants your whole heart. And yes, it's important to focus on making sure that our works don't become our way of self-justification, but there are other things that can come in the back door. And so maybe you can think of another way, another false way that we can justify ourselves. Something that you've come up with in your heart that's taking away from what Christ has done for you on the cross. I hope this morning is the beginning of you hoping to see, beginning of you seeing the magnitude of what Christ has done for you, and your heart will grow more in love with God because of this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we realize that our hearts don't naturally want to go to you. We don't naturally want to just believe 100% that we are completely covered by God, by you on the cross. And Lord, I pray that we would just have a peace about that and we would come to understand that. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that's struggling with that or maybe hasn't realized that before, pray that they would just put everything on the cross this morning. In your name that we pray. Amen.